Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Ignite 2017, the best session of Ignite 2017.
Well, the session with the best title, at least.
5 p.m. on a Wednesday when the hangover is just kicking in, hangover lag just kicking in. My name's Paul Woods. I'm half of the speaking team for this presentation today. Honoured and privileged to be sharing the stage with Sonia Cuff. Just before we get into the presentation, I just want to take a pause. She doesn't know I'm about to do this. I just wanted to publicly acknowledge and congratulate Sonia 6 weeks ago, picking up MVP award for the first time. So thank you for your contribution.
Thank you.
To the community, prolific writer, prolific speaker. If you haven't seen any of their stuff, make sure you check it out. Very, very good stuff. All right, let's get to the topic of today. We're here to talk about digital transformation. Who here has heard of digital transformation at this conference today? Two people? Yeah. I thought there'd be a lot more talk about digital transformation in the keynote, probably not as much as I thought there might have been. But what I want to talk about the session today is really about digital transformation in the sense of the stuff that technologists don't normally think about. So what we want to do with today's session is enable you to walk away with vocabulary, some stories that you can share with people inside your business when they're talking about digital transformation inside your IT teams. And we're going to do that in a pretty interesting kind of approach, and we'll talk about that in a second. Digital transformation really is the buzzword of the month, the flavor of the month. People inside your business are thinking about digital transformation today, whether it's at the board level and your directors in your business. They're getting pressure from their peers who are other directors in businesses, asking them questions about, and from shareholders about, what are you doing about digital transformation? How are you going to stop us from being disrupted? I think officially, if I'm doing a talk about disruption or digital transformation, I need to quote Airbnb and Uber case study, so we'll just get out of the way right now. But they're hearing these stories about how industries are being disrupted through digital technologies. Also, within your businesses, you might have executives in your businesses that are thinking about how they use digital technologies to improve your customer experience, increase your revenue, increase your profit margin, so on and so forth. As technologists, we might not have access or be involved in these conversations, but they are happening inside your businesses. So when we saw the call for speakers for this for Ignite, we wanted to make sure we told the part of the story that might not normally be told at a technical conference like Ignite. We know that there's going to be plenty of really great technical content about architecting for digital transformation, architecting environments for digital transformation, looking at platforms and development. How do you make sure you've got the technical systems in place to support the digital transformation initiatives that are on in your organizations? But what we knew there wouldn't be is all the stuff about the soft stuff that goes with transformation, the actual transformation of your businesses. And in reality, that's actually the hard stuff. Even though we say it's the soft stuff, it's really the hard stuff in organizations. So how do you change the behaviors in your organization so people embrace this style of work? How they embrace digital technologies to engage with customers? How do you get your customers to change the way that they behave to engage through these technologies as well? So we thought we'd put this session together. Because digital transformation is the buzzword of the day, we thought we'd go to the oracle of buzziness, which is BuzzFeed, and try and come up with a session title that is the most BuzzFeed session title we could, which is, if you go back the slide, people that missed it, is the CEO reviewed your project and you won't believe what happened next. All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to play on your bias, your biases that you have around loss aversion. Has anyone heard of the loss aversion bias? A few people? Basically, humans will do whatever it takes to avoid really bad situations and loss. Okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to present this presentation basically as a smackdown from the CEO. So we're going to review a project, a digital transformation project that we worked on, that I worked on as the project lead, and I'm going to get smacked down by the CEO, and he looks pretty grumpy. We spent $30 on that stock photograph to get the right face. It was worth it. So we're going to go through this scenario. Basically, I'm an IT lead who's been responsible for a digital transformation project in a business that hasn't gone the way that we hoped it would go, and we're going to go through that process there. The other thing we've done, because BuzzFeed are great at producing content, you know those BuzzFeed articles like 17 really exciting cats and you won't believe what cat number 4 did? Like the idea of a listicle. So you basically go through and list off all these different things. And we thought, well, why don't we do that style of thing for this presentation as well? So we've got a listeration presentation that's based on lists. So we're going to list through all these things that the CEO thought was wrong with our project. Then we're going to reflect on that and list through all the things that we could have done better to get a better outcome for the business. And we'll basically structure the presentation in that way. Last but not least, what we'll do at the end, if anyone wants to have the opportunity to have a project deconstructed live on stage, You can't all look away when I look at you.
you can stay anonymous. You don't have to mention your organisation name. Like, take off your delegate tag and just go, I heard of this project that someone else did.
Well, yeah, or dob in like a competitor or something like that, maybe. I'm not sure. So what we'll do, we'll have a bit of time at the end. So what we're going to do is look at a real project. So if anyone's been going through a digital transformation program, no matter how big or how small in your organisation, let's look at a real example from the audience as well and use some of our shared experience that we'll be working with.
Absolutely.
But without further ado, one other thing. So originally when we were going to do this, I was going to be the CEO. That's why the CEO is a male on the screen. And then Sonia was going to be the IT lead, but we thought we'd throw each other in the deep end. So this is what I project myself as if I was an angry CEO. And you'll see what Sonia thinks of herself when we see the IT leader down the track.
Do I need to put on my angry CEO face,
yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
So I hope you know why I called you into my office today. That last IT project that we did, yeah, no one in the leadership team knew what the heck was going on. The ones that did didn't even care. Look, our people just weren't comfortable with the technology changes. They just want to sit in emails all day. That's all they do. They don't need all this other fancy stuff that you're throwing at them. The stakeholders felt like they had no say in the project. They were basically on this train that was moving too fast, and there was nothing that they could do about it. What exactly were you trying to achieve anyway? Look, it just didn't fit in with how we work around here. So when exactly do you expect the whole organization to be using this and be up to speed with it? I really think we had the B team on this one, guys. And that one person in the project that was really good and knew what they were talking about, they left halfway through.
That's me.
Hands up if you've ever been on the receiving end of a conversation like that, or you know somebody else who has. Let's phrase it that way.
All right. And they're all coming up the stage at the end of the presentation. So.
Hands up if you've been on the receiving end of a boss or manager who has just walked out of a conversation like that with his boss. Yeah, that can be slightly more uncomfortable. One thing I learned very early on in IT is that managers do not like being railroaded by exec teams like that, and it's us poor IT pros that bear the brunt of it after they have. At the end of the day, digital transformation, as much as we like to coin it as an IT term, it is not an IT project. Digital transformation is a business project with IT components.
Cool. I thought you were going to be a lot angrier than that.
I don't do angry very well. I'm not going to win an Oscar for that one.
We should rehearse the anger more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to present there, so a lot of people would have experienced meetings like that, experienced feedback like that around projects that you worked on. And thank you.
I'll let you click.
Thank you. And because we're technologists, we might not have all the context around why businesses are changing and why the business needs to change. So we sometimes get blindsided by that kind of conversation as well. We do what we're tasked to do, which was to deliver that project, which might have been putting a platform in place or virtualizing some infrastructure and putting it somewhere else or whatever that technical aspect of the project is. But we, as technologists, we need to think a little bit broader and think about the impact of our actions and the our customers and our customers' customers, ultimately, and what we're trying to achieve for them, what outcomes the business is trying to achieve.
A lot of that is driven by our KPIs. You look what we get measured on. Did it go in on time? Was it on budget?
Mm.
You know, that is not how the business measures success of a project.
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm a CEO, and technically I am a CEO of a business, a small business, yourself as well, what we think about isn't about getting things done on time or on budget. We think about customer experience and customer satisfaction,
yep,
and repeat customers and margin and how much money we can get out of the lifetime of a customer and so on and so forth, mm-hmm, which are different incentives or different things that we measure our success on based on what technology teams want to be based on. So there's almost like a misalignment of incentives there as well, mm-hmm, around how we can involve ourselves in these projects. Now, that being said, there's plenty of lessons that we can take away from a conversation like that, or lessons we can take from other projects, and we'll talk about a great resource that you can get access to at the end of this presentation. It's on slide 34. Another good BuzzFeed kind of thing there. It's a resource that you can use. It'll help you arm you with all these stories that you can take back to your business when you're talking to the people inside your team as well. The first thing we wanted to talk about is questioning how fast you are going. When we talk about how fast we are going, it's not just you as a technology team, but it's your business as well. So I don't know if you've been, and I'm pretty sure I'll know the answer to this. Who feels like the IT team is going faster than the rest of their business? Now, you're on the bleeding edge, and you've got to drag your business with you as you're trying to take them to the promised land of digital transformation. There's plenty of businesses like that. But there's also, on the converse, there's plenty of businesses where IT are dragging the chain when the business is trying to transform as well. Do you want to share the story of the customer that we worked on in New Zealand about that smaller customer, but really where the business was leading as opposed to the technology side of the business?
Yeah, absolutely. And so they are a very boutique retailer breaking out into corporate markets, and their growth is just absolutely phenomenal. So they have gone very quickly from a very small team to a very large international team, and they have a lot of challenges that go with that. They are a very strong culture first focused organization, and so it's really important to them that things are done their company way. And that is important to, how do you scale that out? How do you go from being a team of, say, five people, where you probably even already know each other, you're all on the same page, and you've all got these great plans and you're thinking the same way, to all of a sudden having offices on the other side of the world, different cultures that you need to deal with? How do you take that company culture and duplicate it in several different places at once at the same time and keep everybody singing the same song?
Yeah, and you're just talking about inside the organisation as well. They want to take their brand experience internationally as well. So they're based in Wanaka. Has anyone been to Wanaka in New Zealand? It's a horrible place to go, have to do some work. We got paid to go there, it was great.
It's too cold.
So they're a small team of 40 people in a regional town in the Southern Alps of New Zealand that want to take their brand experience and their merchandising and retailing experience to Whistler, to the ski fields in Europe as well. So they knew what they wanted to do, and the business wanted to be there yesterday, but the challenge they had is that the technology couldn't keep up. And they were looking at how they could use digital, and in their case, using things like HoloLens and Surface Hub to take that brand experience internationally while keeping that core cultural influence within their team there in Wanaka.
Yeah, we coined a phrase in that project of taking Wanaka to the world.
Yeah. Exactly. So when we talk about how fast you're going, think about how fast your business is going in contrast to the IT team. Digital transformation will be successful if you can get both of those aligned and those expectations aligned. So if you're going at the same pace as the business, or just slightly ahead or slightly behind. But if there's a big mismatch, then chances are your transformation efforts will fail as you go through it. Just have a think about that as we go through it. Executive sponsorship. Who here has worked on a project with an executive sponsor that showed up on the first day, then showed up on the last day? And did nothing in between, right? I know there's a few Yammer folks here that do a lot of Yammer work. They'll be very familiar with that. Like, yeah, let's do this enterprise social thing, but they won't actually post on the network, that kind of thing. When we talk about executive sponsorship, you need visible and active executive sponsorship in these activities. So it's not about a case of someone showing up to a board meeting every month and just signing off on stuff. You need someone to actively lead the transformation through your organization as well. So if you don't have that executive, whether it's a CEO or a senior leader in your business driving this transformation, then again, that transformational project work that you're working on may not be as successful. So how do you identify executive sponsors? Do you have the ability to influence who is the executive sponsor of your projects as an IT pro or a technologist? Most people are kind of shaking their head. So there's two things we can think about here with executive sponsorship. So one is the formal executive sponsor. So the person that formally is the sponsor of the project that might have the sign-off authority on different bits and pieces and decision-making authority. That doesn't stop you from engaging with other executives in your business and getting their support and their sponsorship of the activities that you're going through as well. So you've got to remember that, you know, if you've got an executive team of 12 people, if you're really transforming the business, all 12 of them will want to have at least a view in on what you're doing and have the opportunity to support or have a voice in that process as well. So when you think about executive sponsorship, get the words right, don't just think about that one person signing off the checks at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think it's also important that the executives realise that as IT pros, we're there to make them look good. Okay, so they need to feel like they have the backing and the support of the IT people leading this project as well, that we're doing it for the right reasons and we're doing it because we honestly and truly believe that the technology that we're putting in is going to have a business impact. And we have a vested interest to make sure that it is a success for the business owners and for the people who come in and do their work every day using that piece of technology. That's what it's about. We want to see business results out of the work we do, because that makes us feel a sense of worth, like what we're doing actually matters. And it's far more satisfying than just coming in and going, oh, cool, the servers have been running at 98% uptime.
Yeah. One really good example of that is think about how those executives are incented themselves and what they're measured on, and focus your conversation based around that. So a good example, we did a project just recently with a local council in central Queensland, and they're rolling out Surface Hub. Now, what do you think the primary business case is for a Surface Hub deployment? Anyone got any ideas?
Collaboration,
yeah, any other ideas? Collaboration. So what we found out when engaging with the CEO, this wasn't a collaboration project, this was a safety project. And it absolutely changed the way that we thought about how we communicated in the business, communicated with those other executives within that organisation as well. In this case, that organisation, they're a local government area about the size of Tasmania, and they have a lot of their staff get into cars and drive 2 hours for meetings every couple of days. Or staff that need to be able to work from home because of other meetings and can't attend meetings because of the distance and tyranny of distance. Not only their internal staff, but their customers, so the businesses and the organisations and the individuals within that local government area, they have to get in their car and drive to see a planner for 90 minutes to go to have these conversations. So for the CEO of this organisation, this wasn't a collaboration project. It was, how do we get these people out of cars so we can manage fatigue better in our workforce? So it's pretty, like, collaboration is a nice fluffy way we could talk about that, but if we get that next layer or two deeper and how that person is measured and what they're trying to achieve, you can absolutely unlock some really, really sustainable sponsorship throughout the entire project.
Cool. Yeah, look, collaboration, as you said, is one of those buzzwords, but you need to drill down to that next level of detail to go, okay, but what does that mean for you? What does collaboration do for you? What are your frustrations at the moment with how collaboration is or isn't working within your workforce or with your customers? And how is making that better going to give you a different result? What's the impact that you're looking for here?
Cool, next one. Digital champions. So that's a nice little segue from what we're talking about there. Previous slide, we were talking about executives. How do we get executives on board? But executives aren't the only influencers that you have in your business to make transformation sustainable. Who here has direct reports? So HR manager. You're one of the best digital champions we can find in a business because you have the power to change the way that people work, the work practices and processes, how they engage with customers at a team-based level. So when you think about how you get transformation to stick across your organization, don't just think about the executives at the top and what they think. All these influencers and middle and lower level managers also have almost an equal influence to make that change stick.
Yeah, if not more, to be honest. Because when you have a look at your workers, the people that they deal with most of the time are their peers and their bosses. You know, how often do you see the CEO of a big organization walking through the hallways where you work?
Yeah. One thing when you talk about digital champions, sometimes the idea of a change champion network comes up. Has anyone got a change champion network or heard of a change champion network in their organization? One of the key things with change champions or digital champions is don't just pick the people that always say yes. All the people that don't have influence in the business. I've seen this with some customers where their change champions are the receptionist or the EA in that team, no one with direct authority or influence over people in the business. Okay? If you want people to influence, you can absolutely piggyback off that hierarchy that you've already got established in your business to get that influence to throw through the business as well. Cool. Consulting with stakeholders. Do you want to have a crack at that one? Throw you on the spot.
Yeah, thanks. I kind of alluded to this in my SaaS session about stakeholders. The stakeholders are interesting. The stakeholders are basically all of those different people in the organization that have a vested interest. So they might be people in different departments as well as the one that you're influencing directly. And again, it's all about having the conversations and getting those people on the same page. It's really important that what you believe the business project is going to deliver is the same as what your stakeholders believe it's going to deliver. Because if you've got people at a table with different ideas of how this is going to go or what it's going to mean for their team, you're going to have a disconnect there as well.
Yep. When we think about stakeholders, just don't think about inside your business as well. Yep. So a lot of the digital transformation projects that your organizations will be pursuing over the next 18, 24 months probably touch a lot of your customers. So it's not just engaging with stakeholders inside your business, but also engaging with your stakeholders in the communities that you serve. So whether it's your customers or if you're like a regulatory body, some of the other aspects of that regulatory environment, or if you're a government-owned corporation, some of the other stakeholders within that ecosystem, and making sure they're bought into the process as well.
And that could even...
And giving them a voice, right?
Yeah, and that could even extend out into things like your social media teams. So if you have a digital transformation project that is changing the way that your customers interact with your business, how is that going down? That's sometimes really hard to find that kind of sentiment from our customer base if we can't approach them directly. But if you've got a social media team on board that are monitoring things like Twitter and your Facebook page and that kind of thing, they actually might be one of the stakeholders that you need at the table. They're really good at communicating changes and issues out to your customer base, but they're also really good at giving you insights and feedback that customers won't tell you to your face, but they sure as heck will post on your Facebook page.
Some more than others. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vision and strategy. Who here can tell me what the vision is for their company? Oh, nice sweep. It's on your T-shirt, I'm pretty sure.
So that'll be like printed out and
stuff. Oh, yeah, it's on the wall in
the
lunchroom somewhere,
office.
I'm sure. Yeah. What about your core values?
That's the session that HR runs when you get inducted.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We forgot to record that one, though, so we can't look back at it again. So we talk about vision and strategy. There's two ways we can look at vision and strategy. So one is the vision and strategy of your business. And does the vision and the strategy of your business align to the transformation effort that you're about to go through? There are some organisations that absolutely put some stuff on a wall and it means nothing. There are some organisations that it means everything, and they tie all their projects to that. So if you have alignment between the vision of your organisation, what you're trying to achieve, and this digital transformation, that's a pretty good thing. We don't see that all that often, if I'm absolutely honest with you.
Yeah.
But it's not just the vision of your organisation, what the organisation is trying to achieve, but it's the vision and the strategy behind the transformation itself. So can you tell me what the promised land will actually look like? Can you paint the picture of this vision, once we've gone through this transformation process, of what that will look like? Because if you can't communicate that, it's going to be very difficult to get those stakeholders on board, those digital champions on board, and the executive sponsors on board, because they won't understand what everyone's trying to, buy into and believe and understand and get that emotional connection to the transformation that we're going through as well. So just don't think about logically, we're going to do this, then we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You need to think, how do you get at the hearts and minds of people in your business, and how do you get them bought into this journey that you're going through?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, people don't think in terms of technology and steps. Us IT pros do, because we live and breathe the stuff. But if you see any great TEDx speaker, for example, they will get up there and they will tell you a story. Because when we have stories, we have pictures in our minds. We might have inserts of stories from experiences that we've had, and we paint that picture ourselves. And that is so much more powerful to convince ourselves to change habits than it is just to tell us that we'll be using a new system from next week.
Yeah, correct. A question? Yeah, go for it. This could be dangerous.
Do you need both, and can you have one or the other?
Do you need both, or do you need one or the other? That's a good question. I think.
Because I know a company.
Yeah. Oh, name names. Come on.
Yeah. Some other company.
Yeah.
They just spend millions on strategy.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking to myself, and actually, I told this to my boss, but I don't see a vision.
Yeah.
The company I worked for before, they have both.
Yeah.
Strange to me that we're spending millions and millions in strategy.
Yeah.
All these projects, those organizations, the teammates every day, but I don't see anything to me.
Yeah. So if I just summarize that so everyone else in the room can hear, basically we've got an organization that you don't work for. And they're spending a lot of money and a lot of effort building the perfect strategy, but they don't have this vision that everyone can buy into. Is that right? Yeah. So I think I'll have a crack at answering that first. I think you need both. I think the vision is probably the most important part first. And if you're building a strategy without that vision, I would suspect that strategy, if you actually pulled it apart, probably isn't a cohesive strategy that actually would get to an outcome. There's lots of mismatched stuff that's been put together and is a strategy in inverted commas. But I think you definitely need both. And I'd start with that vision of what you're trying to achieve. And it's not just a vision like we'll be more a digital organization. It's a vision like in the context of your customers and your customers' customers and what that would mean for them, the outcomes for them.
Yeah, look. At the end of the day, if people don't have a buy-in to what you're trying to achieve, then forcing them to do all these strategic steps, it's just not going to work.
I'm biting my tongue on that one too. I teach at the QT School. It's QT School of Management, School of Business, and we could talk about vision and strategy for about 4 days, I think, but I'll bite my tongue on that one.
And look, and I think anybody that's had a corporate background all has horror stories of visions and strategies that literally are the standard line from the HR department that they trot out once every few months as corporate culture.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So good question, though. Thank you. The business model. Does everyone in this room fundamentally understand how your business makes money? And that sounds like a really simple question. But if we dug into some of the people in this room, I'd be interested to see a percentage of people that really truly understood how your organisation made money and the value chain from identifying a customer right through to profit in a shareholder's back pocket. If you don't understand how your business makes money, getting on this digital transformation transformation journey will be difficult because chances are that business model might change along the way too. So you need to be able to be fluent in being able to talk about how your organisation makes money. And it sounds really commercial and it sounds like you've sold out, but ultimately that's what pays the bills. It's what pays your salary, right?
That's the reality.
And so you want to know about how you contribute to that revenue flow. The idea of your transformation journey might not be about increasing revenue, but you still need to know how that money flows through your business because it might be about reducing cost, reducing operational complexity, getting closer to your customers so you can change the way that you bill your customers. There's so many different permutations of this, but unless you know truly how your organisation makes money, you're going to be on a back foot when you're having conversations that people that matter that will make those decisions as well. That question, yeah? There's still money flows in a government, right? And you still got customers. So don't think about it purely as a how do we make money to make profit at the end of it. It's how do we deliver services to our customers and how we do it in a cost-effective way. Mm-hmm. And transformation can help you reduce a whole heap of cost out of that process as well. And to be honest, we're actually working with some government departments that are looking at how they increase their revenue using transformation as well. So same thing, if you're not for profit, doesn't matter. If you're an SME, doesn't matter.
So I read a really good case study about a lady who worked for one of the national parks services here in Australia. And she got thrown in the deep end into a management position, never been a manager before. She gets on the phone to her next in line reporting commands and they're going, your park is the worst park in the state for getting your reporting numbers in. Like your predecessor, every time we have to chase you for those reporting numbers, what the heck's going on? You need to lift your game. And she's like, okay, paperwork, gotta love that. So she dug back through to find out what kind of information they were reporting on, who needed it and when they needed it by. And it was a lot, like there was a ton of information. So she sat her team down and said, guys, what's the problem? We need to get these reports done on a regular basis so that these people have the right data. And she got all the grumbles you would expect about people who like to be park rangers out in the woods and in nature having to sit down at a computer and write flipping reports, right? So she took a slightly different approach and had a different conversation with her boss and said, why do you need this stuff? What difference does it make? And she got the proper side of the story. This is why we need these numbers. These numbers affect your funding. If we don't see movement in these numbers on a regular basis here, when we go and allocate budget next year, you're not going to get as much. So she went back and took that story to her team and said, you guys want new equipment? You want this? You want that? That's got to come from somewhere. That comes from our budgets. And the only way that we show the higher ups that are responsible for allocating that money that we need it in this park is by showing them the statistics. We need to prove that we have the case study here for them to justify the investment. Guess what? She didn't have much of a problem getting reports done anymore because the people knew why. They knew what the difference was that was having, and they got an increase in their funding the next year too.
Sounds like a good opportunity to digitize that reporting process.
Absolutely.
All good. So understand how your business really makes money or how you serve your customers. That'll help influence the conversations that you have and how you position stuff with the business
definitely.
As well. Change management. Who here is a change manager? A couple of people. Are you a change manager in the context of ITIL, like an ITIL change manager? Yeah, a few people nodding. So when we talk about change management, we're not talking about that technical change management that a lot of technologists go to straight away is how do you manage change and massage change and curate change through your organization and change the behaviors of people in your business, not only in your business, but also the people they interact with in your customer base as well. We find a lot of organizations have built capability around project management and have project management centers of excellence or PMOs where they can absolutely manage time and scope and budget of a project, but they don't necessarily have the capability or capacity to manage how people change their behavior. And we all know how irrational humans are, so we can't just send an email saying we've transformed and off we go. So building a change management competency or capability within your business will help with your digital transformation journey as well. Chances are there might be aspects of this that already exist in your business. You might not have come across them yet. So within your HR team, there might be some people within that team that have some of this competency already. They may not consider themselves change managers, but they have the behaviors and the attitudes that will help support that. Within your internal communications team, you might have this well. With your external stakeholder relations team, if you've got like a shareholder relations team or something like that too. So there might be there's latent talent within your business, but identifying and having one of those executive sponsors sponsor the development of that competency within your business is important as well.
Yep, and as we spoke about earlier, having those digital champions, you might find that your change management influence actually comes from peers within inside those teams. So all it takes is for somebody to get frustrated about the fact that they used to do something another way, and now with this new system, they can't figure out for the life of them how they're supposed to do it anymore. So look for those people within your organization who naturally pick up change maybe a wee bit quicker, but who are also natural teachers and will take their peers aside in the same department and go, look, I had the same frustration and this is how I found out how to do it. And so you'll find that peer-to-peer interaction, and it goes on at a micro level. As IT pros, we don't even see it. But that kind of buy-in when you've got a team and particular people that are happy to show and lead others through digital change, sometimes they just pop up and surprise you. You don't even tap them on the head and identify them.
Yeah, nice one. If you're looking for, as technologists, you might look at what is the structured methodology or structured approach we could take to change management. There are change management methodologies that you can look into as a kind of a shortcut to build this capability. There's an organization called ProSci. Who have some change management models. There's also a few other books from a guy called John Cotter, if you want to get onto your Kindle and look at some of his books around 8 steps to manage change and so on and so forth. So there's plenty of different options you can look at of how you can get these change methodologies, just like Prince2 or PMBOK or those kind of things from a project management point of view. Even just looking at it at a high level and getting an understanding as a technologist about the language you can use when you think about change management will help serve you well on your transformation efforts as well. Next one is about being flexible. I can think of a few projects that I've been personally involved in where there was a very rigid goal and a very rigid outcome that people were trying to achieve. And as the project went on and on, everyone recognized it was less and less likely that we would achieve that golden utopia that we'd set ourselves as a goal. So within this transformation project, businesses change, markets change, customers change. You need to be flexible enough as you're going through your transformation, because it could be an 18-month, 24-month, 36-month, or even longer transformation, and maybe constant transformation. You need to be flexible in your approaches, and it also comes into one of the things we'll talk about in a second around scalability as well. You need to be flexible to be able to change direction when you need to. And it might be just because your market changes, or it could be government puts legislation in place, which completely screws up something that you're trying to put in place as well. So having that flexibility there, and that can be because you're running it as a lean or a more agile project versus a structured, big, long, monolithic plan to do your transformation, having that flexibility is important too.
And look, to be honest, sometimes things just don't work out the way that you thought they were going to work out. In a government department that I worked in once, there was this great poster in the tea room wall about the 10 different ways to try and revive a dead horse. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but there's all these things that, as an IT project we do, and we get out the defibrillators and we try our best to get this darn dead horse to live, when sometimes you just need a different horse. So yeah, absolutely. And as IT pros, sometimes we actually see that happening maybe before the business and the stakeholders do. So keep an eye on it and make sure that you have the support of those stakeholders, that when you put up your hand and go, I don't quite think this is going to plan, Maybe we need to change direction here, that you've got the support for them to turn around and go, okay, let's do that. Because we know there's nothing more frustrating than you foreseeing that something is just completely heading off the rails, and when you raise it, they go, just keep going.
Yeah, brilliant. Having the right people in the room to actually achieve success, which we've done here today, obviously, we've secured the critical talent for digital transformation. They're all here today, officially approved. But making sure you got the right talent mix on your projects as well. The team that you had for the last project might not necessarily be the right team for the next project. You might need different skill sets, particularly if you're looking more at the softer side of things. You don't just want a team of technologists that are really bought in on the technology platform. You need people that can communicate this change and help sustain this change in your organization and with your customers as well. So it may mean reaching out beyond your traditional team structures within your business. It might be reaching out beyond the IT team or the information services team and looking at other parts of your business and where you can get the right talent within your business, or going outside that organization through partnerships or bringing on other people as well.
And how do you stop people leaving in the middle of a project?
Pay them more.
Well, one way you can do it is that you can make sure that they're having a good enough experience of it that they don't want to leave. And sure, there's outside influences and all the rest of it. But if you really identify people that are part of that change management that you know are gold in that project, you want to make sure that they feel like they're making a difference, that they have buy-in to what's going on, and that they are listened to and supported. So you really need to make sure that they have a sense of ownership of the project as well.
Yeah, spot on. Technology partners are really important in transformation as well. If you work for a large bank or a government department or any business that's more than about 30 seats probably, you'll have a technology partner in some way, shape or form, and some of you probably work for some of those technology partners in the room here today. Having really strong working relationships and partnerships with these technology partners can make or break transformation. And if anyone is from Brisbane, you'll know that in the paper in the last few weeks, there's a really classic example of this going on with a large government area in Brisbane and a technology vendor where this partnership might have broken down. Right, so what you want to have is a really strong working relationship with the partners where you can kind of work through those challenges which always come up within your transformation projects as well. Yep. Cool, let's start with that one. I'm about to cough, sorry.
Digital transformation doesn't stop when the project goes live, and you need to look at the different mechanisms that you have in place for making sure that people are engaged on an ongoing basis. So what have you got in place to keep the conversation going and to keep people engaged? Whether or not you've got a formal plan for that, or whether or not you've got more informal ways of doing it, like literally just catching up with people when you do your one-on-ones, bringing up the subject every now and again in your team meetings. You need to make sure that you don't just go all hands off as soon as the project goes live.
Yep, and one really great way to keep this ongoing communication and education going is through success stories. And as technologists, we're really, really bad at sharing our successes and sharing our wins. Everyone wants to talk about us when we fail or have a bad day, or something doesn't go quite right. Some server goes down or emails aren't available for 4 seconds and then it's like disaster because the business stops, right? But we very rarely stand up and say, well, we actually did a really good job. We got a really good outcome for the business and we helped them reduce cost, reduce risk, reduce complexity, increase margin, increase profit, increase revenue, right? So you almost need to think about how do you toot your own horn, but not just doing it because you want to toot your own horn. Actually share the success stories that you're having, not in the eyes of the technology team, but in the eyes of your customers. So if you describe success in the eyes of the people that you're serving, one, it doesn't look like you're tutoring your own horn. You're actually showing people doing an amazing job in your business. And you know, and everyone else knows, that you as technologists are enabling that to happen. Yep. Question? Yep.
What suggestions do you have for ways to promote those stories?
Ways to promote those stories? Well, I'd like to thank the member for Yammer for his question. Look, if you've got a really strong Yammer community, you could post that kind of information in an enterprise social network like that. Your internal communications team will have channels that you can leverage. And I used to run an internal communications team. I can tell you right now, the hardest part of that job is finding stories for the newsletter. If you come to an internal comms person with any good news story, they'll be like, thank you. You make my life so much easier, right? So enterprise social networks, newsletters and other internal communication channels you have. Other examples we've seen are IT teams setting up trade show events. So having like a one-day event where they bring the business to them and they talk about all the different parts of the business and what influence they're having on the organization. You can have your CEO name drop it in all-hands meetings or like large-scale communications like that. There's dozens of different ways that you can communicate these success stories. The key thing is making sure you capture the success story first and then make sure you can communicate it effectively, whichever channel that you want to use. And worst comes to worst, Chinese whispers is pretty good too. As long as they get better every time you do the Chinese whisper. Regular feedback loops. Who here has heard about agile methodologies, right? So what's the key thing about agile methodologies? You get feedback pretty regularly, so you can iterate and change where your approach is and kind of get closer to the outcome you want to get to. So regular feedback loops in your transformation projects are important for a lot of the different reasons we've talked about before. Say your customer base decides they want to do something differently. If you don't have that regular feedback loop, you're going to miss that opportunity to get that project back on the rails or that journey back on the rails.
And again, it's important that that's followed up with action. Yep. So if the feedback that you're getting is negative, people will soon realize that if they complain and nothing gets done, they will stop telling you and you won't know that you've got a problem. People need to know that when they give you feedback, if it's on the negative, you have a plan in place for addressing it and you get back to them with what the result was.
Ensuring that whatever you're doing is scalable. Now, there's two ways you can look at this. One is the technology side, and because you're at a Microsoft conference, obviously you're using all the latest and greatest Microsoft stuff, which is always infinitely scalable, right? Just keep throwing your credit card at it.
Yeah, the cloud's scalable.
It works. Cloud everything. So there's that part of scalability, which is kind of inherent in a lot of the stuff that you'll be doing in varying degrees, depending on where you're at from your technology architecture point of view. But also scalability in the team that you're working with as well, and the interactions you need to have with your customers to bring them on this journey too. So looking at not just how do you throw more people at projects to get things done, and how you not just throwing more people to communicate what's happening in the project, but looking at how you can use digital tools and methods to scale your impact as a communicator or as a change agent in your customer base as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So scalability is a really interesting one because most IT projects start out as a small proof of concept. You don't go with a digital transformation project to the whole organization at the same time. That would be a little bit crazy. And so what we tend to do is we pick one particular small area of the business and go, you guys are going to be the guinea pigs, let's test it. But then we have to scale up and duplicate those results across the entire organization.
Cool. Our list duration is getting close to the end. I think we're up to number 16.
Oh, fantastic.
Only a few more to go. Collaborate. Don't try and do this by yourself. Don't try and lead this charge by yourself. A lot of the things we've talked about already is about engaging with other parts of your business, getting them on board, creating a vision that people can buy into. Bring people with you, working with your technology partners. Make sure you have that collaborative relationship with everyone to be able to react and be flexible in the way that you react to changes in the marketplace as you're going along your transformation journey.
Yeah. Look, collaboration we use as a technical term all the time. It means that you and I can be in the same PowerPoint presentation and edit it together, right?
Oh, we did that.
Yeah, we did. Collaboration on this scale is about making sure that everybody in the room has a voice and every voice is respected. So I don't need to necessarily agree with you when we're on the same project and we're talking about something from two different angles. Sometimes one person needs to veto the other and be right and someone needs to be wrong. But at the end of the day, you need to make sure that you have respect for each other's opinions.
And just keep going. Just sometimes it's really hard. And sometimes you'll have down days, and no matter how many times you try to convince someone to change the way they work or convince a customer to take up that new process, they keep going back to the old ways. Now, some of this stuff takes multiple tries and multiple attempts to change minds as you go through it. And whether it's from a people point of view and changing human behavior or those arguments you have around technology architecture and which way is the right way to go, you need to have that argy-bargy, you need to have that collaboration. You need to get through that to ultimately keep moving along that journey.
You know yourself, if you've ever tried to change anything about your own lifestyle, tried to change your diet, tried to change your exercise habits, what happens when you have a bad day? You don't feel like changing so much.
You eat a chicken really schnitzel burger like I did today.
Yeah, we don't really feel like continuing.
Yeah.
But there's this great saying that says when you're going through hell, don't stop there. Okay, you need to push through. Just as we have to push through in personal lifestyle changes, sometimes we just need to keep going.
Yeah. And if you do all of that, that's another third of our stock photography budget, just there. Question, yeah.
So I guess the question really then is, how do you know when to keep going and when to stop talking at that horse?
Oh. good question. You know that one.
That's a really good question. I don't know that there's any particular definitive answer for that. That's really going to come down to a case-by-case basis. It may just be that you keep going, and because you've had one bad day, you don't stop. If you're realizing that, well, hang on a minute, yesterday was a bad day, the day before that was a bad day, I've had like 10 of these bad days in a row, do we really need to change tactics here? So it's going to come down to an individual basis and a bit of sentiment and a bit of feel. Is this something that you can push through? Because people do just need to get used to a change in habit. Or is it because we've technically really got something wrong here with how people need to work? Yeah, it's a bit of a judgment call, I agree.
And I think from my point of view, so do you, just to repeat the question was, when do you keep going versus just stop flogging the dead horse? Mm. I think that it comes down to a vision and a values discussion and how bought in the rest of the team that you're working with is bought in on those vision and values. So if you believe in what you're trying to achieve and you believe in the vision that the organization has set and you're going down that path and you have a few bad days, but you still see that vision is achievable, then I think you keep going. If you've got people around you that feel that way as well and are bought into that vision and those values and are going towards that digital transformation future, transformed future, then you keep going. But if you have those bad days or bad months or maybe even bad years and you see the people around you aren't living those values, aren't going towards that vision, they're going in different directions, that's when you reassess. Whether it's professionally as you're the project and we're working on that, or personally, do I just get out of this and find some more fulfilling work? That's probably how I look at it as well. Question?
Yeah, that's what the executive response is about. So, you know, if you're meeting the requirements of the business, the business isn't driving it.
Yep.
The executive response's job is to take it to the rest of the company and say, we're doing it right, you need to accept it. Or maybe we're going down the wrong track.
Yeah, correct. Executive sponsor's got a key role to play. And it may come down to the executive sponsor making a judgment call on, you know, some financials. We're not seeing the revenue impact that we thought. It's not influencing our expenses as much as we could. It's not reducing them as much. We're not seeing as much repeat business from our customers because of this stuff. So there's definitely a few different ways we could answer that question, and probably 15,000 different permutations, I would, if we looked at individual situations. But I think you're absolutely right with the executive sponsor too. I think there's another question. Is it Kai? Yeah, no? Someone else put a hand up over here. Right. All right. You look really happy, Sonia. Glad we spent $30 on those perfect teeth.
Because you're doing everything right.
All right, so what's next? Let's give you something to walk away with to help you have this conversation inside your organization. Has anyone seen this white paper Microsoft released in November last year? Not a single hand. That is, okay, a few hands, okay. Maybe five hands, all right? For those on the webcast, there are like 1,000 people in this room. And no one put their hand up. I was only at 200. The Digital Transformation White Paper, Embracing Digital Transformation. The best thing about this white paper is not an American white paper. This is based on Australian organisations where Microsoft interviewed 30 different organisations. And I think based on some of the lanyards I saw, may have interviewed some of the organisations that some of the people in this room work for. Okay. A lot of our presentation is inspired from this white paper. So a lot of the things that we've talked about are directly from this white paper. So if you thought this content was engaging or interesting, or you want to take some of these messages back to your business, please take a photo of this. Or if you're really keen, get out your mobile phone right now and type in that address, digital-delivery.azurewebsites.net. Put in your details, get on the mailing list, and then get a copy of this one. The good thing about this is if you go to that address, they give you the option to download the PDF, which has got some really great content in it and some great frameworks you can use to have this conversation inside your organization. There's also a podcast version of it, so you can download it and listen to it in the car when you're coming back and from work or on the bus or on the ferry. Okay? So I'd absolutely recommend you have a look at that. The reasons why I like this, really simple language that anyone can understand, really great, relevant case studies to Australia, organisations that your peers and your stakeholders will understand where they fit into our marketplace and the struggles they're going through, like Cricket Australia, Macquarie Bank, there's a few other ones in there.
That's right. Yeah. And it's not just theory. These are real world examples from businesses who have gone through the digital transformation thing and have learned some lessons from it, and they share what worked.
Yeah, spot on. And then continue your Ignite learning path with all these great resources here that you would have seen already during this conference. So I think, what's the time? We've finished up.
We're good.
50 minutes. So we've got another 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. Does anyone want to come up on the stage and talk about their digital transformation journey?
Digital transformation journey. You're all too scared. We don't want to keep you from beer o'clock either.
Yeah. You're making our job really easy, actually.
Yeah.
So without further ado, so what to say? So thank you very much for your attention and your engagement during this. It's great to see a presentation with so many nodding heads and phones coming out at the end. We'll be up at the front of the room here.
Yep.
Afterwards, if anyone's got any one-on-one questions want to ask or talk about some of this content, I think, Gus, do you have a question?
I have a statement.
Statement?
This is the best session I've seen so far.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. No, just the only session you've seen so far?
Just make sure you put that in your evaluation feedback.
This was really, really good.
So let me throw that back at you. Why was it good? What's your takeaway from that?
Well, what I liked about this was, I think you were right, no one talks about this.
Yeah.
We talk about digital transformation, and it's common sense, and nothing you said today was like mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But it was just a really neat, succinct way of telling the story.
Yeah, cool, awesome. Very good, well thank you for the feedback.
Thank you.
If you want to put that feedback on the eval form, I think that's the next slide. Or maybe not. We love that feedback as well. And thank you very much. If you want any questions, want to engage, please feel free to come up and have a chat. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth.